Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Full force, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Brighton held Chelsea again and Fulham kicked the crap out of another opponent. It's Wednesday 19th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vinicius Nadarajah.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday. You've probably had a few hours of Wednesday already, but it really starts now. How are you doing, Ando?
I like the official start of Wednesday, as decreed by Marcus Speller. Can you officially start all my days for me?
I can do, Andy.
Like with a starting pistol?
It'll cost you money and emotions. Vish, what about you?
Yeah.
Would you like to wake up to me every morning, baby?
Sometimes I do, because we message back and forth, and sometimes I've got a lovely message from Speller to greet me. Often from the night before, but...
You never message me back. That's not...
That's not true, is it?
I always start the conversation and then have to end it with it. Well, thanks anyway. How about last night's football on the South Coast, Andy? 1-1 it finished, Brighton versus Chelsea. Again, Brighton holding Chelsea. They gave them a proper old runaround, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure holding's really the right word in this case, because It kind of felt like Chelsea holding Brighton. And that was something that Thomas Tuchel kind of touched on afterwards.
He did.
Now, never have I heard, I think, such a weary manager at the front of a set of apparently so weary players. You know, they have been through the ringer, and I accept that. Having said that, before we get on to their tiredness versus their resources, Brighton were just excellent. Really excellent. And to see them play so well against, you know, one of the better teams in the Premier League, whatever they've been through in the last month and a half, it was super, super impressive. And I think sometimes we can really underrate, and you know, maybe a section of the Brighton fans can underrate exactly what Graham Potter's done. Now,
you're referring to those who booed him all those months ago.
Yeah.
I thought he reacted really well to that. I mean, I know this is, we're going over old ground here, but in terms of like where they are now, or rather that performance they put in yesterday specifically, the way that he was like, honestly, what are you complaining about? And then has shown them since then of like...
Did he, but when he walked around each stand last night shouting passionately, you're not booing now, are you, you mugs?
No, but I could understand, you know, when he went around a bit before that as well. Oh, no, it was afterwards when he went around and was like, no, where is he? Honestly, where are you? Where are you now? Do you know him?
Yeah. Some of that, or maybe all of it, didn't happen, of course. But Andy, you said Brighton, it was impressive what they did. What was the most impressive thing, that header from Adam Webster?
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Come on!
It wasn't just the distance, it was the angle.
The pace.
And the cleanness of the hit.
It was absolutely glorious. Glorious headed. It was an equaliser. Yeah.
The way he headed it, it was so clean that you wonder if he even felt it. You know, sometimes if you like, you know, when you strike a football with your foot and primarily... Yes. You're like, right, wow, I know that's good.
I mean, he's middled it, basically.
Yeah, he has middled it. Yeah, exactly that. Mm-hmm. Also, it was, I think it was Joe Cole, or maybe Glenn Murray made the point in the BT studio, where it was like, brilliant header, well worked. Weird to see a header in the box where someone doesn't need to jump from a corner. Mm. And you think that, I suppose that is also, you know, a sign that it wasn't defended particularly well.
Yeah,
I did think Brighton's move for that set piece was really interesting because Chelsea was zonal. They managed to get the contort it in a way that, you know, when you see a steal from that, it looks like Chelsea's players are marking each other.
You having a go at zonal marking?
I don't know. I'm not. I don't have the qualifications to tell you which is better or which isn't. Well, I like the mixed one. Uh-huh. I like a bit of both. You like sweet and salty popcorn. I did also think, though, we saw basically the limitations of Brighton yesterday to a point, didn't we? Mm. Because...
What, in only scoring one goal and not winning the game?
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm. Because they had chances to. There's certainly moments that, or openings that should have presented themselves. And not just Welbeck going through and Maupay's miscontrol in front of goal, even McAllister's duffed shot when it was pulled back to him. But also there were moments where you were looking for that final ball and you're like, it might be because of a distrust with the strikers, but you're like, I wonder if they have someone who, or how much better they would be if they had someone who was willing to take a gamble. Whether that was a striker who would just... you know, dart to the front post, or whether that's someone in the attacking midfield sense who will play like a bit of a risque ball.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the final ball was there enough for them to have won the game, but it's just the perennial problem with Brighton. Unless they unearth a hidden gem in the transfer market, and I realise there are gems and there are gems, them unearthing a hidden gem would be getting someone for, you know, 15 or 20 million still, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're never going to get the centre forward they need to take them to the next level unless they're extremely lucky and it falls into their lap, really. And that's why you've got to gamble on Danny Welbeck being the Danny Welbeck we all really hoped he would be rather than the ghost of Danny Welbeck, which is obviously not the case.
I mean, he's never been a prolific goal scorer, though, has he?
No, but the player that he threatened to become before everything.
Now's his time, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But yeah, you have to operate with that mindset that, like, yeah, I'm... You know, it might work for us. Yes. You know, I might be able to unlock something in them. Because it was funny, you know, looking at that Chelsea team, and I remember the start of the season when they were defensively really sound and still not quite clicking up front. I was like, oh, presumably, you know, the up front staff, that'll work itself out because they have so many good options. And like, even one of those options in the Brighton team would take them to a completely different level.
Yeah.
And yet they can't seem to find the right combination, can they? Chelsea, that is.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, Tuchel said this in the Manchester City game, you know, we were poor up front, or words to that effect. It was interesting that Hakim Ziyech and Romelu Lukaku having what seemingly looked like a heated debate at half time, and then the celebrations for Ziyech's goal were muted because Thomas Tuchel said they were too tired. That goal scored in the first half. Whatever you do, lads, conserve energy and don't celebrate properly. But it is quite odd, though. You are right in saying that the combination's up front, because Lukaku comes in, you think, right, well, there's your man, there's your focal point. But it's not quite working out like that.
Well, I think
at a crucial stage in the season.
Part of that is that turn of phrase, isn't it? Lukaku is your focal point. He was part of the best two, probably, and the best front two in world football for the last couple of seasons, him and Lautaro. Mm. And all of a sudden, he doesn't have his Lautaro. And that makes a huge difference. Now, I know people will say it costs a ton of money, he's got to adapt, he's gone in there with his eyes open. I think all of those things can be true, but at the same time, you have to accept that there is a sense of adaptation, that he's maybe closer to his Manchester United role than his Inter one, which is a bit of an issue.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mm. Yeah, that was exactly the problem. There was one game I remember where he looked happy, or he certainly looked like, because there was chat before, you know, in his last season about the issues, you know, pertaining to his position on the field. And there was one game, I think it was Arsenal in the FA Cup, where he was basically out wide on the right and destroyed them, probably relatively speaking, but he looked like it was a side to him that we'd seen flashes of before. And I thought,
so it worked,
oh, shit,
court final good. Against Brazil.
So I'm thinking for Manchester United, that is. Just with the Chelsea stuff, I don't necessarily mind. Well, I don't mind at all, actually, the Ziyech and Lukaku chat, because it seemed to be quite constructive. Because
agreed. Yeah.
A few times it was basically like, you know, for the goal, for example, I think it was a bit like Lukaku was explaining to someone else, I just want it here differently. And obviously that's not a problem with Lukaku and Ziyech. That's a problem with Lukaku and the system, really. It seemed quite constructive and quite... Those are the kind of conversations you want to have.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, you mentioned his partnership with Lautaro Martinez. Could Timo Werner be his Lautaro Martinez?
No.
Well, Timo Werner said that...
Not that I don't like Timo Werner, but...
Well, he said sometimes... He says that he doesn't know why the Chelsea fans are supporting him so much, but he says maybe it's because I'm a striker and I want to score but miss chances.
That's what everyone likes in a striker.
It's quite interesting.
He comes across really well on interviews.
I think he does.
He's genuinely quite funny. He's done some like little bits here and there. I still can't get over the fact that every time he comes on, he looks like he's just discovered he has feet.
Yeah.
At any moment in time, I'm waiting for him to like fall on his back and like try and put them in his mouth.
But he's
like
really happy to see them, and he's like, oh, this is going to be brilliant.
Yeah, he's like, bloody hell, I can run. How good is this?
I mean, it does say something about the treatment he had in Germany.
Well, I was going to say, Andy, because people forget or maybe don't know that he got a lot of treatment in Germany. Was it because he was a diver, they said, or something?
Yeah, but also because he left Stuttgart for Leipzig.
Yeah, and so he's had a lot of hate in his own country. So this stuff about him getting a bit of stick over here and thinking, oh, he doesn't seem to be affected by it. No, he's probably
There was a big German holiday hit that played in the clubs of Mallorca.
Oh yeah,
that was about him being a son of a bitch.
Oh dear!
Who recorded that?
What's his name? It'll come back to
Scooter!
Me.
Scooter! That guy. I bet it was old Scooter, wasn't it? Up to his old tricks. Andy, apparently there's, among the links with Everton, Graham Potter's name was mentioned. Now, we'll talk about Everton in the second half. But Graham Potter said before this, he said, it's hard to be a sexy name in football when you are called Potter, especially if your first name is Graham.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the beard overcomes all.
Possibly.
Paul Potter? No, that doesn't work. It's Paul Potts, wasn't it?
Yeah. there is a more obvious choice. Fish.
Harry Potter.
Correct.
You wouldn't want to fuck Harry Potter though, would you?
What?
Who's talking about that? Sexiness.
Who's talking about Vish? Come on, that's very...
Oh, actually, chicks dig scars, don't they? He's got one on his little forehead.
Stop at any point.
When the bald man tried to attack him when he was a baby.
Is that right?
You've seen Harry Potter, haven't you?
I've never seen Harry Potter, no. Because I'm cool. Anyway, talking to cool people.
You'd see it if he was sexy, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you've got me there.
Speller would just lock him under the stairs. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Careful, Andy. That's quite a serious accusation. Speaking of cool people, John Terry, a little social media update from him. He's posted a picture, this was last Sunday on Instagram, in the cockpit of a plane with the caption, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking." If you got into a plane and John, you heard John Terry say that, Andy, what would you think?
I think I'd rather fly Ryanair.
Would you think? I hope Ricardo Carvalho is up there with him. Anyway, gentlemen, we've got to move on to the championship. Where it's all happening. It is all happening. Fulham beat Birmingham 6-2. 19 goals in the last three games for Fulham. I mean, this is just absolutely magnificent
stuff.
Can
I ask you a question?
No. A third of matches in Fulham's history.
Don't kill his vibe.
Six plus goals have come within the last 8 days.
That's astonishing, isn't it?
So what has Marco Silva done to them?
He's just let them play. Let the boys play, Andy. Do you know what? Last six goals last night, Mitro didn't even score.
It's amazing.
It is quite something. 27 goals he's got so far this season. He'll be furious that he never scored last night, let's be honest. He's thinking, I could have got to 30. It was funny, actually, because when Lee Bowie was talking after Birmingham drew with Preston, and the reporter said, you know, what about the quick turnaround of games? Obviously, you've got Fulham next. And he went, yeah, they've scored 13 goals in two games. Yeah, looking forward to that. He was just so defeated beforehand. It's like, well, you can have a go, man.
You know? I was having a Mitro discussion with someone the other day.
I get quite passionate about it, Andy.
I think we're about to get into the really good bit of Mitro's career.
Ah, okay.
One, because obviously he's scoring for fun at a level that he's never reached before. But also, you look where he is with Serbia, and of course we've had a lot of chat in recent weeks about Dusan Vlahovic with Arsenal pining for him. But because Vlahovic is, like, how can I put this, a grown-up, despite only being 21.
What, you're saying Mitrovic isn't?
Well, yeah, I think I am saying that. I think that
he's a specific type of grown-up.
Mitrovic has grown up quite a bit, though, in the last few years, I would say.
Anyway, I think the interesting thing is the fact that Vlahovic is clearly going to start for Serbia in the future doesn't mean, and you know, Mitrovic has got an enviable goal scoring record at
44
level.
44 international goals in 69 international games.
It's very impressive.
That's, he's
very
only 27
impressive.
As well.
But a striker, just like any other player, is not defined merely by goals. And basically, he can just do him. He can be chaotic now because they have a frontline striker who has got a head on his shoulders and does all the sensible stuff. So Mitro can just be Mitro now, which I think is great.
I think it's great. He was a little bit angry with Mitro because he confined your Portugal to a playoff spot for the qualification of the World Cup.
My Portugal.
Look, Andy,
Did he hurt Turkey in any way? His father, they were such a shambles last summer. Oh, man.
The Mitrovic, I think...
Still haven't forgiven you for that.
Indeed, yeah. But Fulham, though, it's going great guns under Silva.
I'm really interested to see them next year in the Premier League.
According to Andy.
I was
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Nah.
Do you see something that's different then with this team that would be more transferable to the Premier League?
Yeah, well, that's the trick, isn't it? I say Fulham under Jukanovic, of course, were so good to watch, and they were brilliant.
They were fun, right?
Yeah, but it didn't translate to the Premier League. Under Scott Parker, I thought, maybe because it's a little bit more sort of battling and a bit more pragmatic, maybe. That might sort of translate, as you're saying, and it didn't. This time round, Silva he's managed in he knows the league, and it would be interesting to see, presuming Fulham go up. I mean, the funny thing is, they've scored all those goals. They're actually only 5 points above second place, and Blackburn are hot on their heels, or the Blackburn are a side that they've absolutely smashed this season as well.
Yeah.
So they did have a bit of a poor period, Fulham. What was it, five games or something like that without winning? So, and it's the Championship. There is ebb and flow. I mean, with those kind of results, yes, they've come in quick succession. They have put themselves in a tremendous position. I think Fulham's goal difference is 47. No team in the league has scored 47 goals. Their goal difference is higher than Bournemouth's, how many they've scored.
Wow.
It's sensational stuff. But we shall see if these last three games are indeed indicative of the rest of the campaign and so on. But they've put themselves in a wonderful position. Bottom line,
Mitro needs to pull his finger out and start scoring again.
Well, if you're not going to score in games like that, then don't bother, mate. Take your 27 goals and go elsewhere. Of course not. But yeah, impressive stuff from Fulham. Chaps, I'd like to go to the African Cup of Nations, if we may. The big story from yesterday, of course, was Comoros beating Ghana 3-2. And Ghana going out of the AFCON after the first round, not winning a game and so on. And I unprecedented scenes for Comoros. I mean, obviously, it's a tiny country. It's their first time that they've been there. So to get that win against Ghana, I mean, Comoros are third in the group, and it will be the best it's a bit like the Euros, your four best third place yes. teams. I'm not sure where they are at the moment. With just 3 points, they may struggle, but we shall see with other results and other games to be played. Vish, you've got to look at Ghana and think, flipping Nori, you know, they'll be right annoyed because obviously they went down to 10 men, slightly controversially, got it back to 2-2, and then 3-2 Comoros, and it was all over. Curtains.
Yeah, it was interesting. A few people I follow who support Ghana have been saying for the last month or so that this could be quite ugly.
Mm. Right.
This feels like the worst Ghanaian team in a while. And it was almost like there was a sense that, while obviously they were supporting their team, when they got back to 2-2, it was like, do we deserve it? Like, you know, because yeah. if they'd got the... Yeah, it felt a bit like that. You know, some chickens were coming home to roost, and I thought the Andre Ayew red card was a bit harsh.
Yeah,
do you think? Because I think that's the sort of one that, I love Andre Ayew, but I think that is one of the sort of challenges that always gets given as a yellow. But if you actually look at the challenge, it's definitely a red.
It's
just one of those ones that doesn't often get given as so because you're yeah. challenging for a loose ball
yeah,
in front
right.
of the goal,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, the fact
it's dangerous.
And yeah, until you lose your inhibitions, don't you? Do you remember when Solomon Kalou did it?
He scored a studs up goal, didn't he?
Yeah,
against
double
Sorensen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Against Sorensen.
Yeah, that is exactly it. Yeah, and Sorensen had to go off because his arm was fucked, yeah.
Yeah, well, look, he's a huge disappointment for Ghana. I mean, they brought back Milovan Rajevic, who was the man who guided them to the World Cup quarterfinal in 2010, so they brought him back, and it's just not worked out. They would have been disappointed to lose the lead against Morocco when they drew 1-1. Against Gabon, they conceded late, and then it all kicked off, of course, after the final whistle, and Benjamin Tete was given a post-match red card. And but it's funny because in that game, when Ayew scored that absolute fizzer into the corner, and they saw the celebrations, it looked like Ghana thought, right, lift off, here we go. Mm. They don't win that game. Then they go into this one, sending off and so on, and it's finished in tatters. I don't think anybody would have had them down, perhaps, to win the tournament. But out in the first round, bottom of your group, in a group containing Comoros, you know, that will be quite damning, and a lot of questions will be asked in Ghana about that. Gabon drew 2-2 with Morocco to seal second place. Impressive, because I've sort of tipped Morocco, really, to actually go on and maybe do something here.
Did you see the absolute pinger of a free kick from Ashraf Hakimi?
I did. Somebody asked whether he meant it, and I thought, I think he did.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I mean, that would be a dreadful cross. That'd have gone way over everybody. But if you see his eyes as well when he hits it, I think he very much meant that. But what about Gabon, Andy? They've overcome a lot of adversity off the pitch to create a bit of a feel-good factor around their side. And apparently, reports are saying the country's quite behind them, which is a surprise or refreshing for that crop of players.
If you'd have said before the start yes. that Aubameyang and Lamina aren't going to play a single minute between them, and yet they're going to qualify, it's remarkable.
Yes. Well, they've gone home due to medical reasons, but they had... been in trouble from the staff and the manager for
Look,
disciplinary reasons
ahead
of the tournament.
If your plane stops at Dubai and you have to change planes, your plane stops at in Dubai and you have to change
and
planes.
And if your mask slips off your face when you should be wearing it, oh dear.
The airport Wetherspoons.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a footballer and you happen to find yourself in Dubai, you are legally obliged to go to a restaurant, post about it on Instagram. It's not his fault.
No.
I have to say, I just think if you're getting busted for doing stuff that you shouldn't be on socials these days, I mean, you deserve everything you get. I can't believe you can be that dumb.
Yeah,
it's just yeah.
Anyway, but it is incredible that they've gone through the group, and obviously as well, much more sort of the horrible stuff is that there's a sexual abuse scandal that's cast a shadow over Gabonese football that's under investigation at the moment. So, as I say, a lot of adversity off the pitch there. But this current team with their results and their performances and what they've got, they've got everybody on side back home in Gabon, and they're through the knockouts.
Yeah, you were saying before we went on air that like it seemed that the people of Gabon had turned their back on the team in the lead up to this. Because
according to report, I'm going on reports.
Yeah, sure, but
I haven't gone over there and had a look. Hey, you do a little survey.
Watch the boys. Come on.
I'm just going over to Gabon to do some vox pop.
Speaking one of his six languages.
Yeah. Indeed. Anyway, right, well done to Gabon and Comoros. It's time for a break.
Hold up. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is the kind of thing I have to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. That was Jose Mourinho and friend of the Ramble, Kay Murray. Marvellous, absolutely marvellous. Right, everybody, it's Wednesday, so it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy.
We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody jump! Sit down! Wait! Drink wine and relax!
All right, drink water and relax. Lovely.
Old drink
job.
Wine and relax.
Not what he's saying.
Go on, Vish, get us off to a good start here.
I've got an email from Andy, not this one here, someone else somewhere. I've got an issue that I reckon is right up your street. My son is 6 and wants to come to the football with me. As we all know, there is some language that you wouldn't want your kid to repeat, so I need your help with covering up what the fans are actually singing when he asks. I've already changed United shit, City's worse, to United stinks, City's worse. But I'm struggling with lines like, always look on the turf more for shite. Your support is fucking shit. Wanker, wanker, wanker.
Yeah.
Or fuck off, Chorley, we went and won the league. Or I Ashley like Palmer's one. Magic, he wears a magic hat, and if you throw a brick at him, he'll head the fucker back.
Oh, I think you're fighting a losing battle there.
So, and he signs off with any help would be appreciated. So I think, as someone who doesn't have kids, I don't want to be flippant about this, but this does seem to be a thing that all parents, and Andy, presumably you're in a situation like this, where you have to broach. And certainly in in some football grounds, certainly in some cricket grounds as well, they do have family stands. But it's not a commonplace thing, is it?
Also, I've seen some dreadful behaviour in family yeah. stands. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's no guarantee of anything.
God, it's a Manson what? Family.
I would say from one Andy to another, just don't worry about it too much. You can't protect them from that stuff. So let him get out there. And if he ends up calling another kid a wanker in the playground, then so be it. I reckon that's my advice. Also,
he could treat the ramble, because we swear a bit on the ramble, out of order. He could treat this like a football Rosetta Stone, couldn't he?
What you reckon this in the car on the way to the game?
Yeah.
The thing is, I think what you're underestimating as well is if you take your child, the common decency of the people around you, you will find that the community closes around you and really like helps your child enjoy the experience. I remember going to see a game at Brentford with my dad. When they were playing Stoke, like probably like early 90s. I was like 12 or 13, I think, and trying to go around all the London grounds. Anyway, I remember sort of starting to walk towards the exit. Brentford were losing by a couple of goals near the end. Stoke scored again. And I was making my way to the exit, and this guy, this quite imposing guy right behind me, said, "Fuck off, you little wanker!"
To you!
I remember turning around and going, like, obviously...
Mr. Smith, what are you doing here?
Yeah, he's maths teacher.
With a really obviously quite scared and horrified face. Uh-huh. And the bloke went, "Oh, sorry, son, I didn't mean you. I meant him," pointing to the late, great Alan Ball, who was the coach of Stoke and celebrating the goal on the touchline.
And after all, it was Alan Ball. So that... There we are. Right.
So your kid will be looked after. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy the experience.
No, I think you can do that. Andy, spend a few quid. Like, treat him to like in a box or something. You should be protected there. And I think we've answered your question.
What I'm going to say to you, son, don't spend any time with the shit munchers out there. If it doesn't come with a meal, you're not going.
Yeah, absolutely. He may not swear, but he may get involved in some class warfare. Andy.
There we go. From someone we thought it was best to keep anonymous.
Okay.
It will become apparent why. The discussion earlier this week about listener Jimmy Bond reminded me of a tricky situation I found myself in. I'm a filmmaker, writer, and film critic, and my mate's dad pitched me an idea for a film he wants to develop. Okay, sounds promising. My mate's dad, Alan, is a bit of a Cockney geezer, and he wants to make a movie about a Millwall footballer who's also a part-time spy named Jimmy Bond.
Here we go.
The name's Bond, Jimmy Bond. I don't want my fucking pint shaken. Sorry, Em, can't work this weekend. Got Charlton away in the cup. You get the idea. So how do I let this guy down gently? How do I let him know that his idea is the shittest idea since Stuart Pearce played David James up front? He's a bit of a scary fella, so any suggestions on how I could avoid a punch up the bracket would be gratefully received.
I think that he should just say, "I don't have the budget to make, I can't do that." And I think he should say, "This is a great idea." Now, we don't know who this filmmaker is. I mean, this could be, you know, George Lucas for all we know. Mm. But I think, I'm guessing it isn't George. And I think that this filmmaker, who I'm going to assume is maybe not top of the tree in his profession, because it's very, very difficult to get there in Hollywood and all that. And just say, no, this idea deserves to be in, you need to pitch this to the very best and try and just palm him off like that.
I would say work on the idea with him for an extended period of time so it looks like you value his idea.
Yeah.
And then say the higher ups in like Universal Pictures or whatever are really interested in it. Mm. And then say, they've hit a brick wall because Millwall are wanting too much to incorporate their branding into it, so unfortunately we won't be able to take it further.
Yeah, and they want us to do West Ham instead. That's where I thought you were going with that. So he's meant to spend loads and loads of time just wasting it with this guy.
Well, it's not wasting it, is it? It's
that's
like
a,
making
that's
him
bad
feel.
Advice,
it's,
Andy.
It's making him feel creatively sated.
Andy, you are making a mockery of pep talks right now. With that advice. Vish, do you have any advice?
Well, I was about to lay into him, and then he said he's a scary fella, so I'd do what he wants. He sounds terrifying.
Yeah. I look forward to it coming out of the cinema.
I know, yeah. I think he'd be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I tell you what, pitch that idea to Sacha Baron Cohen and he'll go with it. I'll tell you that now. And if that is that you, Sacha, then I'm amazed you're asking us because you know what to do. If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in and we'll get to them every Wednesday for Pep Talks. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Of course, gentlemen, speaking of scary men, Big Duncan Ferguson has been confirmed as the interim boss at Everton. He'll never part ways with that club, and nor should they, obviously. But you know when a boss comes in and often gets rid of all the staff and goes, right, do they think they look at him and go, okay, yeah, fine, he can stay?
Do you not mean when someone like a Winston Wolfe character comes in and gets rid of all the bodies? Because I feel like that's what Duncan Ferguson's doing.
No, he's like that. No, but you know, like sometimes they bring, when you get the new staff, everybody's a clear out of staff,
yeah,
and coaching staff and all
that
kind of stuff. And they look at Duncan and go, yeah, you can. You can.
Yeah, if you've got any film ideas as well, we'll be happy to listen to them.
Yeah, apparently he took training on Tuesday. He'll be in charge for the club's upcoming games, supported by John Ebrell and Leighton Baines. Leighton Baines.
I was excited at John Ebrell, personally.
Yeah, I bet you were, Andy. Yeah. I know you were excited by him. Now, Jose Mourinho was briefly linked yesterday to the Everton job, which is something we can all get behind because we're not Everton fans. But he's turned down the
job. I mean,
job.
Listen to that. We can all bet behind it because it's not our problem.
One of the most decorated managers of recent years, and we treat him like that, Andy. But he wants to stay with Roma.
I have to say, that's probably the best hour that Dan Friedkin has had this season.
Do you think?
Where he thinks, hang about, I'm not even going to have to pay to sack him. imagine that. It's like, oh, small compensation package. You know.
Do you think
he's yours. Work on the poker face.
Do you think he was like, Joseph, have you seen that? That's Hello Magazine. Have you called that in? No.
I think it's Rafa Benitez left and he thought, I could turn up at the club and then blame it all on Benitez. That, I do like that idea, but no, I'll best stay where I am.
I mean... I'm not meaning to, you know, diminish the work of either of these two coaches, but he's doing a really, I guess, Portuguese Harry Redknapp at the moment. The way he's sitting there and going, oh, look at all this old shit that I've been left.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I'd like to say him stay at Roma a bit more because it's just an interesting time.
Again, it's not my problem.
No, exactly, yeah. Keep him over there for a bit longer. Sam Allardyce did offer his assistance yesterday before the appointment. He said he'd be open to becoming the new manager, but also said that it was Duncan's time. Again, he was being interviewed and said, yeah, I'd love to be the new manager. I'd love to go back there again. And then someone mentions Duncan Ferguson. Yeah, but it is his time. So that's the end of that. But he did say if they needed me to help out or if they felt they needed me, yes, of course I would. I wouldn't say that would be a long-term thing. I mean, that would probably be their decision, Sam, as I don't think that would be right for Everton or for me. If I can help Duncan in any way, shape or form, I will.
I mean, this is horrible. This is all making it just worse for Everton fans.
I know.
Hated ex-coach.
An incredibly proud club. And there's, as you say, a sacked coach who didn't do terribly there, but it wasn't a good fit in the end. You know, he saved them and he's just going,
they did globally not enjoy him.
No.
I think it's fair to say.
No, that's right.
But also, even in the stuff with Roberto Martinez, which seems to suggest that Bill Cronenberg is a bit more involved in this process than he was at the start of the season.
Uh-huh.
Even all this, it must be so infuriating to be an Everton fan and feel like you're just constantly waking up in this time warp.
Yeah.
Who do you think, after yesterday's discussion that Kate, Luke and Pete had, who do you think is a better dancer out of Allardyce and Martinez?
Well, we've seen Allardyce dance impromptu, haven't we, with Okocha.
Mm. Oh no! But do you not remember him dancing in the? Was it
Rihanna on holiday?
Yeah. I think that's harsh. I think Allardyce. I think he'd be a good laugh if it was, you know, ties around the head. Here we go. Come on, Eileen. All that sort of stuff. I'm more at home with that than Roberto Martinez doing like a little reverse sort of.
So the thing, like,
reverse the car kind of dancing. What was it, Jason Derulo? I've got nothing there with Big Sam Allardyce. Ties around the head. Here we go.
The thing about the Martinez one, it was a bit more contrived, but I think that he's been sold down the river here because on stage, I think Jason Derulo was getting people to mimic a certain dance for a bit, which is why he was doing it and why the person next to him was doing it. Mm. But obviously, you don't see that; you just see them two in the nice seats.
Yeah, Andy, you've been done there.
No,
well, I don't think I've been done.
I mean, I feel like the egg is still on Martinez's face here, but the thing, like, just to go back to the Duncan Ferguson thing, from what happened in, it was 2019, wasn't it, where he filled the gap between, was it Silva and Ancelotti? Yeah, but Marco Silva and Ancelotti, there was that time between them where he came in and did that role as the...
And people liked it.
Yeah, people liked it because he. I feel like what he did was he restored a sense of pride, but if we can take that as given, because who's going to disagree with him? And, you know, there'll be more hugs and stuff like that, and there'll be a sense of, like, oh, you know, this feels a bit more like Everton.
More hugs.
Yeah, but there... The things that really need to get sorted is the order and the complete disarray the squad's in, which is kind of the work of 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't suddenly undo
three
different transfer regimes and people who want out and people who are sellable on a certain stage and just think this is going to get better by the end of the season.
I agree. He's by no means the worst name on the list. And I think...
And that's a problem in itself, though.
Yeah, totally. But I think a huge part of that is... recognising the fact that at the moment, just appointing someone, and as the guys were saying yesterday, the range of the candidates really underlined that they don't know what they're doing. I think if you've got someone who's got the best interests of the club at heart, who's not demanding a load of money to spend on transfers, which, for the record, I think is the worst thing they could do at the moment. They've needed to prune that squad for a really long time. Someone who's just prepared to roll his sleeves up and work with what they've got for this next period that's not going to be great. You know, they're not going to... I know we're talking about the potential of, you know, them getting it right and getting to sixth place or whatever. That's a way off at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got a lot they need to sort out. And I don't think someone who's really got the best interest of the club at heart and who is really liked is a terrible choice in that context.
Roy Hodgson. Andy, I think that... but I think it's frustrating. Just to finish off, I agree, because Everton, I think that they've been hanging around that same position. You know, where do you think Everton will finish the season? Eighth, ninth kind of thing. If a striker's not, or a player's not good enough for a top sort of six club, but he's not... But Everton, maybe that's the next move for somebody... like that. They want to kick on. They've seen other clubs of similar sort of sizes and statures and histories and so on have a little win the old trophy. Look at what Leicester have done, or even to say compare them to say Arsenal or Spurs, which some people might think is ridiculous, but they see clubs, you know, have a go and get a bit of European football and all that kind of stuff, and it's just not quite happened. And when the new owner came in, a lot of money spent and so on, they've just not progressed, have they? And it's a shame, and they've made a lot of mistakes. But what I would say to Everton fans, though, and here's a little bit of inspiration for you. It's a quote I saw on social media yesterday, and it's of course by Pitbull, and it says, "You don't make mistakes; mistakes make you. Therefore, they're mustakes." And I think Everton have made a lot of mistakes, and they're going to look forward to the times when they truly blossom into the club they want to be, Andy.
Oh, look, there's nothing I can add to a Pitbull quote, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talking of mistakes, we go to Inter Miami, Andy. Yes, their pre-season preparations for the 2022...
How has this got on here?
What?
How is this?
I wonder how it's got on here, Vish. I really can't work it out.
This is like the Everton of running order. How is this in there?
I'm in Fizz's pockets. And it's very quiet in here.
Better than being in his line of fire.
Their preparations for the 2022 MLS season started this week. That's why it's in here. It's big news. Okay? Blaise Matuidi, he's won the World Cup, Vish. He's on the verge of leaving the club. He's not been very good in Major League Soccer. They've had to pay a $2 million fine, the club did, after going over the salary cap for his wages. And it's not been money well spent, Andy.
Who'd have thought a player like that, who would be extremely valuable in a different context, wouldn't work for them?
I'm shocked. Fizzer believes that they have a younger, more hungry team lined up for this season. And he said of last season, "We were never a team." So they're ready.
Right.
What do you think, Vish? Silverware?
No.
Luis Suarez keeps being linked with a move for Inter Miami.
I mean, would that be a good move for Luis? Do you think he's too angry for Fizzer? Do you think Fizzer could tame Suarez?
No, I don't think
he suppose you wouldn't want to, really, but do you think, okay, let's put this a different way. Do you think Suarez has any respect whatsoever for Philip Neville?
No, I don't think he's even heard of him.
Why don't we go the full hog and pair him with Diego Costa into Miami?
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you are talking. Tonight, everybody, Leicester City versus Spurs, Brentford versus Manchester United. Two big games. Antonio Conte said yesterday that his side need to do something in the January transfer window, even if it is not the best opportunity. They're being linked with Adama Traore, which is an interesting one. So we shall see how that plays out. And Leicester, of course, have got their own squad problems, but expect 7 injured players to return for the game tonight, which is reinforcements that they need, Vish, because they've not had a great time of it.
Yeah, although they haven't played much particularly. They haven't played twice in the last couple of weeks, haven't they? Wouldn't this be their first Premier League game of 2022? So they're in it feels like they're in a spot where they, you know, I suppose they can start again because, you know, they had a pretty strong win against Watford in the FA Cup. And yeah, I suppose the Spurs thing, Adama Traore is just going to be a squad player at a different club. You know, he's not regular for Wolves. So I'm not entirely sure what the attraction would be beyond, obviously, a race.
He plays more than he doesn't play, though, at Wolves.
But so then he's going to play a little bit less at Spurs, I think, because he won't be in their first team squad. They won't be in their first 11. He'll just be a perennial impact sub.
Yeah, but when Conte says they need to do something, that wouldn't be the worst thing to do.
No, exactly. But then when you hear that as Traore, it's like, well, cheers, mate. Thank you.
Well, we just needed to get any old forward.
So basically, they have to buy someone to not anger him.
Yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Any port in a storm. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. Brentford host Manchester United, and they're very glad, of course, that it's going to be at the Brentford Community Stadium. In light of reports that a Manchester United player told an opponent not to eat the post-match food at Old Trafford because, to quote him, it's shit. How about that?
Well, this is maybe all food's shit, but because managers keep getting rid of ketchup, there's no way of cloaking it in something else. You know, adding your own flavour or your own sauces.
No, so. But isn't this part of, like, the post-COVID world or the, you know, during COVID world?
Due to COVID restrictions, the club now leave packed lunches for both the team and opponents outside their dressing room.
I mean, already that sounds horrible.
Why?
It's not going to be nice, is it?
Well, they're not going to put like Monster Munch in there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be actually, because that will travel well.
Discos.
Yeah, exactly.
Discos.
I think we've...
Get a double decker down, yeah.
Spotted a gap in the market. Marcus preparing the packed lunches.
Dairy Lunchables, what are they doing to us?
You just imagine Anthony Martial going, this is why I want to leave Manchester United. Is this a bloody pork pie again.
Is this a yackle?
Oh, dearie me. Right, gentlemen. We end the show with the sad news of the passing of Paco Gento, the Real Madrid and Spain legend, of course, passed away yesterday. Spent 18 years with Real Madrid and is the only player to win 6 European Cups. What a player he was, Andy.
Yeah, he really was. And
some people may not have heard of him, but he's a true legend of the game, especially in Spain.
Yeah, 12 domestic titles, 6 European Cups. And of course, Marcelo just matched his total of 23 trophies just the other day, going one ahead of Sergio Ramos. And Gento was someone who, as Sid Lowe wrote, was someone who he never thought he would make it at a big club because he was really from the provinces. He was pretty quiet and shy, but the endorsement of Alfredo Di Stefano really, really helped him. And, you know, if you think about it, he was part of this team that made Real Madrid what they are because those winning the first 5 European Cups established them as like
that's a very important point to make because, as you say, we all know Real Madrid for being this possibly, arguably the biggest club in the world. This is where it really started.
Yeah, and it's not just the trophies, it's the way they did it. And he was such an exciting winger. He was really part of, you know, how good that team were to watch.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, everybody, we're now going to finish the show. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. If you haven't spotted it, you can give us a little star rating on Spotify now. We will bloody love you for it. Much appreciated. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Andy will be in your ears. Get your lug holes around that one. Thank you very much for listening to today's show, though. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you, Patricia Andaraj.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.